Well, good evening, everyone. Trust all is well. It's good to have our daughter and our three granddaughters. That's the one I told you that would say she was a favorite. And what did she do? She said she was the favorite. Didn't she, Frank? She did. If you have your Bibles tonight, we're going to be looking in the book of Psalm. We're going to kind of have a Bible drill tonight, except I'm not going to wait till you to get there and stand up and read it, but we're going to look at a lot of verses, so keep your Bibles open. I will slow down to give you time to turn there. We'll be looking at a lot of different scripture tonight, and want to talk a little bit about this, the thought, God is good. How many can say amen to that? And we down in that church I used to pastor some years ago, I learned from another preacher friend who's in heaven now, but I would say God is good, and the response would be all the time. So God is good. So if I say all the time, amen. Y'all quick learners. That's great. I was going to preach on conflict tonight, how to handle conflict, but maybe I'll do that before the next business meeting. No, just kidding. But the trustees do have a meeting tonight, so I want to be brief. So I do feel the Lord is in this and redirecting this, and I'll do this next week or another time. Pastor has asked me to speak tonight, and again, also on Sunday morning and Sunday night. And so the next Wednesday night that I speak, I may use that on how to handle conflict. It's also a shorter message, just two or three points. But I think it's just some good common horse sense that we see for the scriptures in the book of James. But let's start tonight in Psalm 25. Psalm 25 and verse 8, and I'll go ahead and have a word of prayer as you turn there, and because I've got several verses of scripture, we'll be in Psalm quite a bit, so when we, if you want to keep a finger there, and we may venture back along the way, but I don't want to rush, but at the same time, I want to give you a few things tonight as we have time, and the reference is God is good because he has the power to create, because he has the power to redeem, he has the power to direct. He has the power to control and the power to keep his promises. And we'll look at those tonight and give a few verses, have a few comments after each one of those points. But before I do that, I'd like to read an excerpt from a song written by Miss Becky Calvert in 1993. I'm not going to sing it. I'm just going to read it. And you'll thank me later when you hear me sing. When life is a struggle and I feel alone, when sadness steals my song, God is good. When surprises come at me, he is not surprised, for he planned it. He is God, and he is good. God is good, God is good, and he doeth all things well. All his efforts meet success. God is good, God is good. Who am I to question the judgments that he makes? God is good, this I know, God is good. If life smiles on me today or if it frowns, if the sun comes up or doesn't, God is good. In a million years from now, I will not remember those, but I will remember that my God was good. I'll have Michelle sing that sometime in the future, but just a wonderful song. I think it fits with the message tonight. If you have your Bibles open to Psalm 25, and we'll read verse 8, but first let's have a word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, for your grace, for your goodness to us, Father, and your loving kindness. And Father, thank you that you are good, that you love your children, and Father, that you're in complete control. Father, help us always remember how life goes, whether things are good, whether things are down, whether things are going sideways, or we're just fearful, that we'll just remember that still small voice and remember, my God is good. Father, bless now our time as we look at this study and look for the scriptures and glean and be encouraged by it. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 25 and verse 8, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. Now let's run over to Psalm 73 and verse 1. Psalm 73, 1. And then we'll go over to Psalm 86 and then Psalm 119. Psalm 73, verse 1. A psalm of Asaph. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. Psalm 86 and verse 5. Psalm 86 and verse 5. For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 68. Psalm 119, verse 68. The Bible says, thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. Without a doubt, we can find many other verses in the Bible. I meant to, and I got sidetracked. I don't know if it was one of the granddaughters or what, but I meant to look it up real quick, just how many times in the Bible where it uses the phrase, God is good. But we've read numerous right here. But as we think about it, why is God so good? Number one tonight, because he has the power to create. Because he has the power to create. Genesis 1:1, you know the passage there. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Isn't it wonderful to know that God not only is in complete control, but he created all things that do exist? Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse number 17, and you can jot these down. I'll pause if you're really speedy, but I'm going to get moving here. It says, O Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretcheth out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Remember when you were growing up and you heard the phrase, well, my dad can do anything. My dad can do anything. And I thought that as well. But dear friends, what's really truth is our God can do anything. He is in complete control. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Why? Because when God moves in and takes residence, the drunk changes. The drug addict changes. The sinner changes when they yield their life unto the Lord, because he has the power to create, and he has the power to renew and to change that life. Number two, God is good, not only because he has the power to create, because he has the power to redeem. The power to redeem. In other words, a ruling affected by payment of ransom. All because of the payment of ransom that our Lord gave. Ephesians 1:7, we see this illustrated in ransom in full, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Isn't it wonderful to know that's been paid in full? Isn't it wonderful to know that, hey, I'm not perfect. I've made my mistakes. I've trusted the Lord. I've given my life to him. Even though I may make another mistake, I know 1 John 1:9, I go before my Lord because that ransom has been paid in full. Then we see another form of this redeem to ransom or to redeem in Titus 2:14. The Bible says, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now, I love some of our brethren and some other denominations, but I just can't understand how anybody can think that God would give me something today and take it away tomorrow. Or that God would dangle something out in front of me that I have to do enough works to be able to reach out to it. I'm so glad our Lord made a plan by giving of his son for the redemption of all mankind. Our problem is we just need to understand that we are sinners and that we need that and we need to give our life to him. I remember serving in the mission field. Kayla was real little back then, probably the age of her oldest daughter there. We had a lady in our church that was coming there. She was a librarian. And she had come to church preaching. She came every single Sunday morning. Lost, far as I know, she never got saved. But she came every single Sunday morning. Every single Sunday morning, she walked down the aisle, the invitation, because she said, I want to go to heaven. But the problem is, we sat down and talked to her about what the Bible says for our ransom, for the penalty of our sin, what Christ has done for us. She said, well, I'm not a sinner. I'm a good person. I taught in the school for 45 years. I was good to the children. I gave my life to them. I never married. I gave my life to the children at the school here where I teach in our village. She can never see herself in need of that ransom. And therefore, she could never be saved. But every single Sunday, she walked the aisle. Every week. Another form here we see on the power to redeem, to buy up, to rescue from loss. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Well, aren't you glad we don't have to live by the law today? Aren't you glad there's not a set of guidelines we have to memorize, to learn, and to know in order to be saved or to keep our salvation? Folks, I don't know about you. Let's just be honest. I have a hard time following all the traffic laws. Come on now. Don't be a hypocrite. Come on. We've all been pulled over. We've seen that little number digit counting our speed, warning us to slow down because we're a little bit too high. Yeah, we set our cruise control, but we still got that foot on the gas pedal. You know, aren't you so glad that our Lord has taken care of that? Man, God is good because he has the power to create He has the power to redeem. And then number three, he has the power to direct. Let me ask you tonight, who is directing your life? Who is directing your thoughts? We got to be careful. We got the eye gate and the ear gates. We need to be careful. We need to guard those things and protect them. But who is the power in directing our lives? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Now, I learned a long time ago, it's just a simple thing. Sometimes we learn things if we just observe and watch. I'm not quite sure how I got this illustration, whether I heard it or just noticed it. But you notice how when you go into a kitchen, how many of you ladies still use the old-fashioned sponges in your kitchen? Some do, some don't. Some of y'all just take. Do you ladies even know what a sponge is? Anybody? Oh, okay. Well, my mama used a sponge. My wife still uses a sponge. My daughter still uses a sponge, as well as paper towels. But you know, you wipe something across that table and clean it up with that mess, and you go to the sink and you wring it and squeeze it out. What comes out of that sponge is what you just cleaned up, what you just absorbed. And dear friends, what we allow in the eye gate and the ear gate, and Satan puts us under pressure, guess what comes out? How do we wash the eye gate? How do we wash the ear gate? How do we wash the spiritual mind? Thy word have I hid in mine heart, the psalmist said, that I might not sin against God. Easily, as we said here in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Proverbs is full of passages of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 4, I almost preached or taught on Proverbs 4 tonight, the chapter on wisdom. Let me challenge you to read Proverbs chapter 4, wisdom. And the simplest illustration, the simplest definition I've ever heard on wisdom is looking at life from God's point of view. Let me challenge you to read Proverbs chapter 4. That wisdom that we get from the Lord, that time in the Word helps us to direct and gives us the power to direct our lives, because we are going to be directed by something in our lives. We watch our children. We're at a busy intersection. We make sure we have their hand. The grandchildren, we make sure we have their hand. We're at a busy area. A lot of people running around. We will make sure we have that little one's hand so that they don't run off. Dear friends, when we go out into this world, we need to make sure we're holding the hand of the Holy Spirit. And we do that by getting in the Word in the morning, in the evening, however your schedule, your work shift works, but getting in the Word, time with him, and time in prayer that he may direct your life. But dear friends, he has the power to direct. Will we allow him to direct? The power to create, the power to redeem, the power to direct. And number four, the power to control. I asked who is directing your life. So again, who is in control of your life? What is it that leads us? I referred to this verse this past week, and I found it, and here it is. Job 26 and verse 7. He stretcheth out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing. Proverbs 26, 7. Dear friends, our God has the power to control. I mean, he is in complete control. It may be chaotic, but it's in control. My daughter will know this and chuckle a little bit, but when our kids were growing up in church, often when Dad was preaching, we were traveling, or even in church, the kids would sit somewhere, to Michelle sitting toward the back with the little ones. By the way, Jovi, you're doing a good job, sweetheart. Just want to make sure that she had needed to get out with little Jovi. But the girls, you're being good. You're being good. Good job. But I can remember the kids when they got a little older and they scooted up a little bit. And they became preteens and teens and sitting with a teenager, sitting with another family. And the kids were maybe talking or doing something they shouldn't be doing. All Michelle had to do is go, and they turned around. I mean, those about got whiplash turning around. They recognized mom's clearing of the throat meant you better straighten up. Right now, you're not in control. Right now, you're in control, but you need to turn things over to the Lord. You're in church, young man. You're in church, young lady. You need to listen. I tell you what, when she clears her throat in a public place, I turn around too. Oh, not only Job 26 and verse 7, but Proverbs 16, 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. No matter how bad things are, no matter how the world is treating you, when we have the right relationship with the Lord, He promises to take care of those enemies. He promises to take care of things. And again, sometimes we have to remember, it's in His timing. We may have to go through a little persecution. We may have to go through a little hardship. But as we lean upon Him, He takes care of it. Romans 8:28, we all know this. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. God is good because He has the power to control. Are we allowing Him not only to direct our life, but are we allowing Him to control our life? Saying, Lord, I yield it fully and wholly to You. And when I hear the clearing of the Holy Spirit's throat, when I hear that small, still voice in my heart knowing that, hey, you shouldn't be watching this. Hey, you shouldn't be listening to this. Hey, maybe you should not be hanging out. We yield ourselves because we know our God, who is good, wants to direct and control and help me to live a righteous, holy life before Him. The power to create, the power to redeem, the power to direct, the power to control. The number five, He is good because He has the power to keep His promises. Some years ago, the former coach of the Colorado Buffaloes college football started a program called Promise Keepers. And it was a big deal for a little while, and I'm not going to dwell on this any at all, but just to say this, it kind of blew up, did well, and then fell out. But, dear friends, we have a God that has the power to keep His promises endlessly from the beginning until the end. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 56. Blessed be the king that have given rest unto his people Israel. According to all that he promised, there have not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. Isn't it wonderful to know that God keeps his promises? Hey, God is good. There's just no way to explain. Let me challenge you and encourage you. If you're not doing it already, if you have those days where you have a little extra time in your devotions, have a little extra time in your prayer time, squeeze in a little bit of time of just praise time and telling God just how good He is. When's the last time you bragged upon the Lord? When's the last time you got excited about God, what God was doing for you, for a family member, or for your church? He has the power to keep His promises. Romans 4, verse 20 and verse 21. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what He had promised, He was also able to perform. Dear friends, all His efforts meet success. Think about that for a moment. How many things have we started and failed? How many times have we messed up and had to restart? How many times have we made mistakes? How many times have we picked up and helped our children and family members? And to think that we have a God that's so good that He is in complete control, and if we'll just yield our life to Him, He also promises, or He has the power to keep His promises. See, I can lay down at night and have no fear at all whatsoever if I don't wake up. Because I know He has the power to keep His promises, and He's promised to redeem me because I've repented of my sin and trusted Him as my Savior. Both my grandfathers are in heaven. On my dad's side, my grandfather was very rough man, got saved late in life. My other grandfather died on a Sunday afternoon after church, laid down, had his lunch, laid down on the couch, and woke up in glory. But just to think about it for a moment, He keeps His promises. He keeps His promises. How are we in the area of committing to our Lord and keeping the promises that we have made to Him? Doing our best to say, Lord, help me to do what is right. When life is a struggle and I feel alone, when sadness steals my song, God is good. When surprises come at me, He is not surprised, for He planned it. He is God and He is good. God is good, God is good, and He doeth all things well. All His efforts meet success. God is good. God is good. Who am I to question the judgment that He makes? God is good. This I know, God is good. Dear friends, when we know God is good and we live like God is good, people might start believing that we love and trust and believe in a God that's good. And that testimony will be used to draw others to Christ. So as I close tonight, let me ask, how good is your God? Are you allowing him to direct, to control? Are we remind ourselves that he keeps his promises? And dear friends, I don't know about you. That gives me an assurance and a confidence to go out and say, Lord, I yield to you. Use me to show somebody else how good that you are. Amen. Pastor.